Hello, hello, hello. There I go again. Welcome to the Goals, Health, and Success Radio Show. I'm Dr. John DeWitt, and we are here. I was going to do a radio show. I was all excited. I'm going to do it last week from the Caribbean, and unfortunately, the cell phone service out in Haiti and Grand Cayman was not the best, so I could not do it. So that's why this is called The Return of the Goals Blueprint. So now in this episode, we are going to cover how to project your ideal life into the future, how to use your past to actually fine-tune what you want in the future and to almost guarantee that you're going to get it, how to know if what you are currently doing is right for you, and how to make an actionable plan to implement now. Now, that's the biggest thing because, you know, being a retired pro football player, played professionally for 12 years, and it's one of those things where you always were setting goals. You're always like, you know, what am I going to do? I need to get this many. I was a defensive end, this many sacks per game or per year or whatever. So you're always trying to find ways to set goals. And I mean, we're going to talk about some different self-help gurus like Jack Canfield, some of his techniques, Tony Robbins, Brian Tracy, who I was honored to meet a few years ago, and also Pat Flynn. He's an online entrepreneur that has created multiple online businesses that generate over six figures every month. And he actually recently came out with a book called Will It Fly? And I strongly recommend that you go on to Amazon and get that because it also comes along with an online kind of help you through it, because what it is it's to help you decide and determine if the idea that you have for an online business, because everybody has probably 100 of them, if it's actually going to be something that can get you where your goals are and where you want to be. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit first because I was really fascinated, and I haven't even gotten all the way through the book yet, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about how it starts off. So you need to know what you want, and one of the easiest little exercises you can do is project yourself 5 years in the future. So it's 2021, you're sitting in an airport getting ready to fly off to some warm Caribbean island or whatever it is Europe or whatever it is that you really aspire to do. While you're waiting for your flight, one of your really good friends that you haven't seen in forever comes up and says, "Oh my gosh, hey, how you doing? What's going on with your life? Tell me about it." What do you tell your friend? And you need to write this down. You always have to write down Brian Tracy and Tony Robbins and pretty much all the goal people say it's a dream until you write it down. When you write it down, then it's actually something that your brain is like, okay, we want to do this. But then when you come out with action steps to get what you want, then it's actually a goal and it's something you can really actually achieve. So make sure that you write this down. So hopefully you've got a pen and paper. Write down, in 5 years, I want to have this particular car. I want to have this particular house. I want to have a great relationship if you're not in a relationship, or even if you are, you want a better relationship. If you want kids, if you want pets, I'm a big dog person, so if you want pets, that's a big deal. And so write down basically five things that you would like to have that you're going to tell your best friend 5 years from now that you have in your life. It's going to be financial, relationships, health is a big one, spirituality, things like that. So really focus in on those, write five things down, and then we're going to go on, and you can replay this as many times as you like, so I'm just going to move on to the next one. But really take some time for this because this truly is an amazing exercise that can actually get you to where you want to be. So now you projected yourself 5 years in the future for the ideal thing of what you want in all those areas. So now you're going to use your past. So now look 5 years in the past, actually not even 5 years. If we're thinking, for example, job-wise, let's go back, think back to your very first job you ever had, very first job. And you're going to write that down, write down the date when you had that job. Mine, I was an orderly at a hospital back in Arkansas back in 1989. And what you're going to do is you're going to write down what you really enjoyed about that job. So for me, I like being around the people. I like being around the medical field. I went on to become a chiropractor. I love the medical field and helping people. And so being the people in the medical field, and then also you want to write down the things that you didn't like about it. So say for me, it was a really, really early in the morning type of job, and I didn't really mind that so much because I was done at by 1-2 o'clock in the afternoon, so then I had the rest of the day to do whatever I wanted. So I thought that was kind of fun. And you know, with your first job, when you get something that's that serious, I felt like I was really important and had a real live job, because my dad used to tell me all the time, well, you need to get a real job. And so then this really was a kind of a cool thing for me. But one of the downsides to that was, is, you know, I'm from a small town in Arkansas, and my parents had talked to the president of the hospital to get me that job. And so that was kind of one of the negatives, because I felt like I hadn't really deserved it. So anyway, so think about that job, and now go to your next job that you can think of, write down the date, and write down things you liked, things you didn't like. Like, for example, I know it's sacrilegious, like I said, being a chiropractor, but I was just trying to find my way in life. I was a pharmacy tech at a retail pharmacy, and thought that, you know, learning as much as I could about pharmaceuticals would help me be like my sister, who is a pharmacist. And that job, the things I liked about it, basically was just that it was going to help me in the future with school. But other than that, I didn't like anything else about it. People were always sick. We were dealing with insurance companies all the time. I had to stock the shelves, like putting green beans, little cans of green beans on the shelf. And I was required to wear a tie as well. So I'm wearing a tie to Arkansas. It's like August. It's 100 degrees outside. And I have to like stack an entire end cap on an aisle in the grocery store / pharmacy with canned green beans. And I was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. And then after that, I went on to play football. And that the neat thing I liked about that was the camaraderie, hanging with the guys. You know, obviously there's some pride in being able to play professional football. I really enjoyed just everything about it, because the media just plays it up to be such a huge thing. And in my mind, I just remember thinking how crazy it was, because we're just guys. And I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of the guys that play football that haven't even graduated college, and all they're going to do is play football. They're like gladiators, and they're not going to be able to really think of anything else to do, unless you're like the big time, you know, Cam Newton's Peyton Manning, then you're going to have endorsements and all the money you ever need. But for us guys that really didn't make it huge like that, the you know, second, third stringers, or the practice squad guys, you didn't really make a whole lot of money. So I was always projecting, trying to think what else could I do. But the things I said, like I said about it, I like the camaraderie with the guys, and just the team feeling of how you can overcome almost anything. And I like the health aspect of it, even though we are beating ourselves up, we're exercising a lot, and trying to stay strong. So make sure you write down that. And then you can do this for up to 4 or 5, as many jobs as you want. Just rate what your good experiences were, your bad experiences. And what you're going to do is, after you've done all that, go back and give each of those jobs a grade. So like an A, if it was a great job, you loved everything about it. A B, if it was kind of like, oh, it was okay. A C, if you didn't really like it that much, but you kind of felt like you had to do it for the money or whatever, and things like that, and see where your life has progressed from the time you had your first job. Are your grades going up? Are your grades kind of going down? Are they kind of flat? And that's going to tell you that you need to really sit back and do these exercises, because you need to find out what really lights your fire, what really gets you excited, what are you passionate about? I mean, it can even be scrapbooking, or it can be origami, or it can be bonsai trees. I mean, whatever it is that you like to do, focus on that. And so what you're going to do is, in the future, or not in the future, so that was the future. Actually, that was the past. We talked about the future. Now, where are you right now? Now, the job that you have right now should have, look and see if there's any overlap. Now, do you have, like for me, seeing lots of people, interacting with people, getting up early. I get into the office at about 6 or 6:30 every morning, and except for Tuesdays, it's my day off, which is nice, about 6 or 6:30, and then we stay until about 6 o'clock at night. So we have really early hours, but I'm helping people, and we're seeing almost 1,000 people a week, so it's really fits into a lot of the things that I liked about the previous jobs. And so that's one of the things that you want to know, is what did you like in the past? Because a lot of times people just don't take the time to do this. What did you like in the past? And how much overlap is there in what you're doing right now? And if there's not any overlap, how would you grade your life right now, as far as the job, or as far as your relationships, or spirituality. Like for me personally, spirituality wise, back when I was at Vanderbilt, I was reading a chapter out of the Bible every day, and was really, really focused. I didn't even drink soda. I would just drink water, try to stay super, super healthy, because I had a goal to get my football scholarship at Vanderbilt. So my spirituality level was an A for sure back then. And I mean, if I'm brutally honest with myself, I feel like I've kind of, just like a lot of people that are on their life journey, they go up and down and kind of stray a little bit and come back to the path, as they say. And so you just need to be aware of that and think about how you felt when you were more spiritual, if that's, you know, something that you value, and how can you get back to that? And so that is something with the spirituality side that is really important. So you need to do this, not just for jobs, not just for spirituality, but also for finances, like saving and investments and things like that. So it's going to take some time to get this done. Just make sure you do it, because it is your life and it's really important. So now, for example, this was a great example that Brian Tracy talked about in his book, Million Dollar Habits. So say that, and with numbers, it's so simple, it's just a matter of taking action and doing it. So say 5 years from now, or say right now you're making $50,000 a year, $60,000 a year. But how about we just make it easy for the numbers and say you're making $100,000 a year, and 10 years from now you want to make $1 million a year. What do you need to do to get to that point? And so all you have to do is calculate out, okay, $100,000 a year, you break that into how much are you making per month, how much are you making per week, how much are you making per day, how much are you making all the way down to how much are you making per hour. And then you look to see, how can you increase your productivity? And if you're an entrepreneur, it could be increasing productivity by getting more clients. It can be by changing your price point on your products, that kind of stuff. But when you do that, and you break it down, and you'll find out exactly what you're making for $100,000, then go back and calculate it out for $1 million. So how much do you have to make for a million? If you're making $1 million a year, what is that every month? What is that every week, every day, every hour? And figure out what that number is. And then the goal is to come up with a plan that can make you more productive. You don't have to get there all at once, because your goal is 10 years. And so what do you have to do to increase your productivity? Now, if you're in a job where you think that you actually can't ever get to that point because there's a ceiling on it, well, then you might want to look into starting some online businesses. You know, you can do e-commerce. You can sell books. CreateSpace is a great company. It's an Amazon company, and they do print-on-demand books. You can type them out. I've done 6 books on Amazon so far, and they're super easy. You just you can get special formatting and get a neat cover design and all this stuff. But you can make money by doing online print-on-demand books, and there's really no cost to you, because they just go to Amazon. Amazon handles everything. They process it. They ship it to you. And you get a percentage, basically royalty, on the book. So Amazon, because they're handling all the shipping and stuff, they have to take out 35% or so, and then you get to keep the rest depending on how much your book costs. So there's a really cool option there. And you can go online and look at Google search, Google News, Yahoo News, all those kind of things, to see what people are searching for, see what's popular. And you can also look and see, you know, things that you might be interested in. And like I said, what did I say a minute ago? Like origami. So if you're interested in origami, you can Google origami and see if there's any books out there about that, how to do it. I know there are. I'm sure there are. But and then you should come up with like a little manual, a little short manual on how to do origami and charge like, you know, $3-4 or something like that. And that's just one of the ways to kind of start you going. And I don't want to turn this into a big online internet marketing thing, but once you do that, then there's ways that you can put, if you do a Kindle version, because you also do the ebooks as well. And if you do the Kindle Direct Publishing, KDP Select is what they call that, kdpselect.com, go there and you can have your book directly go to Kindle, and you can put direct URL, direct links into the book itself. And so if they click on the link, it can go to what they call a lead page and you offer them an additional video, additional information, things like that, and all they have to do is give you their email address. So that's one of the biggest things that I learned from all the internet marketing people is, and I don't, like I said, I don't mean to get away from all the goal setting, but this is really important, is one of the biggest things is you want to start building your list as soon as possible, because the bigger your list is, then whenever you do come out with a new product, you can actually have people that are interested, that have said they're interested in your information, and you can send it to them and sell it to them, and it's a win-win for everybody because they've already said they're interested. And one of the biggest tricks for that, it's not really necessarily a trick, but you send out a survey to these people. You can go to woofoo.com, that's W-U-F-O-O.com, and SurveyMonkey is another one.com, and some other survey sites, and you can actually put a link into your book that asks them a question. Say, hey, what is it that you would like in this particular origami? What are you not getting out of your origami books that you've read in the past? And actually that way you're incorporating their input. So it's not just you coming up with a product and hoping that it's something people want. It's your entire group is coming up with a product. They're telling you what they want and they're vested in it. So they feel kind of like they have a sense of ownership and they're kind of proud of it. So when you do come out with it, of course they're going to get it. And of course they're going to tell their friends about it. They're going to be like, hey, this guy was asking about this and now it's, you know, he's coming out with it and I helped him out with it and I think you should get it. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Okay. So I got off on a tangent there. I apologize, but I get excited about this kind of stuff. So now zero-point thinking is something that Brian Tracy talks about. Zero-point or zero-base thinking. That is when you step back from your life, just kind of step back, take a minute, and say, okay, knowing what I now know about whatever I'm doing, would I get into this particular business or job knowing what I now know? And if the answer is no, you wouldn't get into that because you don't see a good enough upside or it's not going where you thought it would or you just don't like your coworkers or whatever, then the next question is, what can you do to change that as fast as possible? Because if you keep doing, Einstein, I love this quote, if you keep doing what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always gotten. You can't, it sounds incorrect grammar-wise, but anyway, if you can, it's like a fly hitting a window, and he's trying to go through the window, and he's never going to get through the window, but he keeps trying. He's persistent and has all the energy, but he's doing the wrong thing. He needs to kind of try to find another way out. So you can't keep doing the same thing and expect a different result. You really have to change your thinking. So this zero-based thinking is really important for that. And great, if you think, hey, yeah, I would keep doing this, then great. Just double your efforts and increase your productivity, and then you're going to get your goal, in our example, $1 million in 10 years. Obviously, you can make that 5 years, whatever, you know, everyone's different. But the interesting thing is with Brian Tracy, he said there's no unrealistic goals, there's just unrealistic timelines. So, for example, say, yeah, I want $1 million in 10 years. Say 10 years comes up and you're only making $650,000 a year. You think you're going to be crying about it? No, you're making $650,000 a year, and in our example, we started at $100,000 a year, so you just have to extend your deadline another few years until you get your goal. So don't beat yourself up about it. And another thing that I personally suffered from was when you set a really big goal, and I mentioned this a little bit in the first podcast that we did, when you set a big goal, you want to make sure that you consciously – and this is a Jack Canfield thing. You want to believe that you deserve that goal, that you will get that goal. And the believing is the most important thing, because if you think you're going to get a goal, you want to get a goal, but subconsciously in your mind, you've always got that nagging voice saying, oh, you don't deserve that. Or, oh, why are you so important? Or, you know, whatever your influencers, like your brothers, mothers, teachers, preachers, sisters, you know, family and people around you, telling you because they're worried about you and don't want you to get hurt. They're like, oh, no. So that's kind of playing in your head. Don't do that. Say, yes, I want this. I believe I deserve it, and I'm going to get it. And then when you get closer to getting it, have another goal already in the chamber, so to speak. You want to have something else in the fire, a lot of different pokers in the fire. So when your big goal gets closer to achievement, then you can kind of turn your focus onto the next goal that's even bigger and more audacious. We like to call it a big, hairy, audacious goal, a big BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal, something that there's no way that in your current state of mind you could ever imagine that would happen, but then it does because you focus on it constantly. And we did that actually in the practice, because last year we went on a we had a patient that did cruises and like celebrity cruises, and so I was talking to Dr. Bergman, and I said, hey, why don't we do a cruise? And he's like, okay. And so we do this cruise. It wasn't, you know, it was a learning experience, because neither one of us had ever been on a cruise before. But it was just so crazy, because we were on a cruise, and people, we had like 40 people show up that paid to listen to us talk when we were at sea. We got to go to all these great places, and we went on and actually just got back 2 days ago from our second cruise, and now we're going on another one to Alaska. So when you put it out there and say, yes, I believe this is going to happen, it really does, if you really focus on it and just work hard. That's one of the biggest things people, I feel, kind of fall short on, is when they really want a goal, but they're not willing to work for it. It's not a secret kind of thing where you're like, oh, I'm going to visualize, but you don't actually go out and get a job. I mean, it's not going to happen. You have to, that's one of my favorite things that Dave Ramsey talks about, when he said, you know, I know there's a really simple 3-letter word that guarantees that you will make more money. It's called a J-O-B. So get out there. And if you have to pick up a second job, do that, because it's only a short term. You're going to live like no one else earlier so that you can live like no one else later. And I'm copying Dave Ramsey on that too. That's one of his big, big things, is you have to sacrifice early, and then later you're going to be able to live like no one else and be retired and but still be young and be able to enjoy it. So it's one of those things that you really, really, really have to focus on, have to dedicate yourself, know that you are going to work really, really hard, and just make it happen. That's what's like with my football thing. I knew down to my soul that I was going to get that. But the downside was, is once I did get my scholarship at Vanderbilt, I didn't have any other plan. So I kind of sit back and I took a deep breath and was like, okay. But then I felt like a sense of doom kind of come over me, because I was like, well, now what? Because I didn't know. I showed everybody I got my scholarship, but then I didn't really know what else I wanted. And so it kind of took a while, kind of floundering, and I had some heartache in the middle there with some friends passing away and things like that. So that kind of, like I said, you get off the path a little bit and you just kind of fight your way back onto the path. But as long as you're going up, it might not be a straight line, but it's going to be kind of all over the place, but you want to make sure you keep moving up. Now, I want to talk about, hold on. So hopefully you're writing all these down. You're going to, you know, re-listen to this and write down, you know, what you've done in 5 years, what you did from your jobs, what was, you know, similar, anything that overlapped, things that are going to help you find out exactly what it is you do want to do. And say, like, if you had a job way back in the past, it was your dream job, and you were, like, writing kids' books or something, or editing books, or who knows what, and then all of a sudden you haven't done that in years, you need to start researching, go online, and see if there's a way you can do something like that, because it'll just make your soul feel better, because you know from the past if that's something that makes you happy. So now I want to talk about, this is so powerful. This is an Anthony Robbins thing. He talks a lot about how you need to take time for yourself to really focus on where you want to go in life, because you are in control. And that's one of the things that Tony Robbins and Jack Canfield both take to the next level. They talk about your life will start to change when you realize that you are 100% responsible for everything that happens in your life. So wherever you are in life, because of you, what, you know, decisions you made, you know, actions you took, things like that. That's why I'm proud of you for being on this show, and I'm hoping and would be honored if this actually does help you to get to where you want to be, because it's really, really important. So what he mentioned was the hour of power. And there's the hour of power, 45 minutes to, I can't remember if it was freedom or fulfillment, 30 minutes to thrive, or 15 minutes to fulfillment. So now what that means is you walk, exercise if you can. He even has a program where you can listen to this on Get the Edge is one of his somewhat newer programs. And you listen to the headphones and he's talking to you, and he tells you to do a breathing technique. When you're walking, you're taking a step and you're breathing in through the nose and touching your index finger to your thumb with every breath. You go the index finger, then the middle finger, ring finger, and pinky, and then you go backwards, pinky, ring finger, middle finger, index finger. And it's in through the nose and then out through the mouth. So it's in through the nose, out through the mouth. So as you do this, they've shown that this helps create, because of the neuroplasticity in the brain, this helps create more neuronal connections in the brain that help you really start to believe that this is possible. And I just realized about 2 days ago that this actually worked for me, and I didn't even realize it. Because 5 years ago, I was working in an office that was totally different than where we are now. We didn't see nearly as many people, so I had a lot of free time. And so I would go walk around this park that was next to the office, and I would do this breathing. And so you can do incantations. Tony Robbins really big on the incantations. You can say, I love my life, and then you're breathing into your nose and thinking this to yourself, I love my life, and doing that, or I'm each and every day I'm getting better and better, and things like that for health, and just you're loving your life and appreciation. And thankfulness, gratitude are all huge for all of these programs. But for me, I mean, I was hardcore. I was going to make it happen. I was doing that. And what I visualized, because he said, the more specific, you want to be crystal clear in what you want. So, you know, with football, I wanted my football scholarship 100%. That was just it. I just knew it. But if you just say, like, I want more money, that's not good enough. You need something that's really going to drive you. You have to have a specific, I want to make $1 million a year. I want to make $50,000 a year. I want to make $5 billion a year. You want to have a specific number that has to be somewhat believable, but not, you want it to really push it so that you're actually excited about it. If you get it, you want to be excited. You don't want to be like, oh, I'll just say $110,000 a year. No, don't do that. That's taking energy away. You want to put more energy in. But for me, I was visualizing a navy blue Lexus GX 470 with tan interior. And this is what's interesting with goals, because even though I visualized that specific car and I wanted that so badly, and this was 5 years ago, and I'm walking and I'm doing my breathing and I'm visualizing and doing my affirmations, and I'm like thinking the Lexus, the blue Lexus, and every time I would see one, I'd be like, oh my gosh, it's a sign, I'm going to get it. Well, this last year, I did not end up getting a Lexus GX 470, but I did get a BMW X5 navy blue with tan interior. And I also was able to get my wife a BMW 5 Series. So the blessings just are overwhelming. Even though, you know, I was telling the universe I wanted one thing, they said, well, how about this? Is that okay? And I mean, of course, I'm like, yes, thank you. That would be great. And so I am a testament that this actually works. And one of the neat things, too, is that Dr. Bergman did the same thing. We had a big dream board. We have dream boards up in the office, and he wanted to get a new sailboat. Well, the sailboat that he had a picture of on the board is actually something that is much less fancy. It's not as nearly as nice as the sailboat he actually got now. He has a beautiful sailboat now that's way better than the one he had on his dream board. And so it's one of those things that you just have to focus. Always be thinking, what do you want? Am I in the right place? Think about future pacing. Like I said, you know, 5 years from now, what does your life look like? What can you do now to help get to that point? Do the backward with the numbers. If it's finances, if it's spiritual, you know, do you want to get more involved with your church? Do you want to volunteer more in the community? Things like that, because that helps your soul as well. And that helping other people, especially if you're struggling, helping others is the best way to feel better about yourself, because you see, there's other people that are struggling too, and a lot of times they're struggling a lot more than you are, and so you just want to help them. So helping others is a really important thing to just really make your life more fulfilling. And I am super, super excited about this. We're going to talk again next, well, let's see, not next week, because I can't do the radio show next week, but the week after that, I believe we will do the next show, and I would love to actually hear from you. Feel free to email me at support@drjohndewitt.com, because that will definitely, that's my website, drjohndewitt.com. You can go on there and see some different websites and things that I've done. There's some pictures of me playing football and all that kind of stuff. But it's really important, and there's a little contact me section there if you want to send me an email. And it's just one of those things that I just am so blessed to have life that I have, and to be able to share, especially with the podcast, Blog Talk Radio, is just such a blessing to be able to do this. And I really hope that you found this information helpful. And I will come up with a phenomenal show two weeks from now. And I'm not sure what it'll be, but keep an eye out. You will be notified. All right. And it is a beautiful Tuesday, Super Tuesday. Make sure you go out and vote. Let's try to get America fixed, but that's a loaded question, so I'll leave you with that one. So have a great day. Thank you.